Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet. Giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. And 10 minutes later, the same song spin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to All Things Sports, Big Mike, C. Miller. Once again, we took a week off, but now we're back. We're feeling strong, ready to go. Today, a lot of sports to cover since we wasn't here last week. Like I said, the big shakeup in college football, Bama going down, all things NFL, a little NBA. We might have even a little boxing talk, baseball trades, all kind of things going down this past couple weeks. So what do you think, Mr. Miller? We're going to probably start with NFL as usual, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Good to be back. Got all full of turkey. Definitely enjoyed the break. So, what'd you say where you wanted to get into?
Oh, a little bit of everything. I forgot. How's the basketball league big this week? The Duke, I don't know if you saw the Duke U of A game, but a U of A team looks like they're ready to go deep into the tournament. Duke looks good. I mean, there's all kind of things to talk about. We'll get into it here. We're going to take a quick little break. We're going to start off our first segment, and when we come back with NFL, because that's the big ticket. So just give us a minute, and we'll be right back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, like I said, all things sports, with our NFL talk. The game of the week, well, depending on what you thought the game of the week might be. Big game this week was probably Denver and KC. I'm actually not going to say, like I said last week, KC's a fraud. I'm actually not going to say they're a fraud. They probably are the third best team in the AFC, but I think that's more of an indictment on the AFC than it is on Kansas City. What do you think, Mr. Miller?
Do you think Denver's a lock for the Super Bowl, or do you think New England has a chance?
No, I think actually New England might. If New England can get their running back by committee thing straight, I think they might be a better football team. You know, they got a couple guys who can't, like, I don't know if you saw, really got benched this week, was inactive because he can't hold on to the football. They can get that fumbling part out of the game. Gronk looks like the Gronk of 2 years ago or a year ago or whatever. Their receiving core is coming around. Amendola starting to do a lot of what Welker did. And their defense, I think, is a lot better than Denver. So I would actually give the edge in that conference to the Patriots.
Right, and I would agree. I mean, what you said about Kansas City is they probably are the third-best team, and I think that still leaves them on the outside looking in, having to win a road playoff game. So, AFC, I think, is kind of starting to take form. I think Indianapolis showed that they were pretenders. They don't really have the offense or the offensive line or the defensive unit to contend for a Super Bowl. You know, the game that I thought would be the most interesting, it didn't turn out to be, was Seattle and New Orleans. And I'll be honest, I thought New Orleans would actually hang in that game, if not cover the spread and maybe be in there for a win. Did that shock you how well Seattle played? I know it was a statement game for them. They really hadn't put it together like that all season.
I was definitely shocked. I haven't seen, since Sean Payton's back, I haven't really seen, and, you know, since they had Rob Ryan on defense, I haven't seen them really just get punched in the mouth like they did last night. But, I thought not only did Seattle put together the perfect game against them, but they were more physical. They looked quicker. They looked like an all-around better football team. And since I think, or I thought up until now, that the Saints were the second-best team in the NFC, I'm amazed at what a big gap there is between the Seahawks and the Saints. Now, granted, you play that game 10 times, I'm sure it's closer, but, yeah, I was surprised the Saints didn't bring it a little bit better than I thought they would last night.
Right, and do you think that's an indictment on the Saints? They'll get a chance to prove themselves again next week as they play Carolina. So do you think Carolina wins that game? I mean, is that something where you think the Saints have been exposed and maybe they aren't one of the top two teams, or do you think that's kind of more of an admiration playing in Seattle and they'll be able to get back on track against Carolina this week?
No, I think they'll get back on track, and I think, you know, I think that environment that they – like for big games, I think that environment they're allowed to they're able to produce in Seattle is it's just for the most part, like, I think teams go up there, they hear that noise, and when they get going, like, teams just kind of wilt. That environment is probably the toughest environment to play in. I've heard ex-players say that that's a tough environment to play in, and I think that
– is it just noise? I mean, what makes I feel like – is it noise? Is that what it is?
I think a lot of it's noise, and I think that just like any other situation, once you kind of start spiraling downward against that crowd, against that team, I think it's just kind of hard to get that momentum back. But I think once they get back in the dome, I think that they got they really have a chance to prove themselves because they got two of their next three games are against Carolina, and I think they have a good enough chance to sweep both of those games. So. Nah, I think the Saints will be fine. I think they are the second best team in the NFC, and I think we'll see a rematch of that in the NFC Championship.
You don't. You're telling me you don't see San Fran or Carolina being able to beat one of those teams, then, huh? So I think. I mean, San Fran's kind of come back the last 2 weeks to prove themselves. Kaepernick's not going to be great, but next to Seattle, San Fran's the next best defense, and. You know, any given Sunday, I think you got to give San Fran a chance.
I'll say this about San Fran, and this is kind of going to go off subject a little bit. But now that I've actually got a chance to watch more Alex Smith with Kansas City, I'm not even sure the Niners kept the best quarterback. Granted, they kept the younger quarterback, and that's what I would have done as well. But even though Kaepernick had a good game this week, I'm kind of moving the other way on him a little bit.
Well, his number one weapon came back this week. I don't know if you noticed that was Crabtree.
No, I think
so. I mean, maybe with Crabtree goes Kaepernick, and you see, you know, a little bit of resurgence because, you know, you got to imagine this game. This guy's only started about a full regular season, so I think it's a little bit early to give up on Kaepernick, honestly.
Real quick, did you like? Have you been liking what you've seen? I know you were out. You were kind of an Alex Smith man before the rest. Are you liking what you see now, Alex Smith, with that team?
Well, I think he's an above average quarterback. I think he's sometimes we hear the term game manager, and I think he's one of the better people at managing a game. He doesn't turn it over. He's always, you know, he has a somewhat of a strong arm. You know, and he's just proven he has a lot of starts under his belt to where I think, you know, he's got a good running back there. I don't know. Is he a Super Bowl winner? I guess that's what it comes down to in the NFL. And I don't see him as a Super Bowl winner. I know I've always been in his corner, but maybe the more I've seen of him, I just don't think he's going to be able to beat two or three great quarterbacks in a playoff. And that's what you got to do to win a Super Bowl is beat two or three great quarterbacks.
Last year, we saw Flacco beat Peyton Manning and Tom Brady on the way to the Super Bowl. I look at Alex Smith. I don't see him being that much work. I mean, I think him and Joe Flacco are almost the same guy, really. I don't think he's He's, to me, I don't think Flacco's head and shoulders better than he is.
Well, you know what, and I don't either. And I bet heavily that Flacco couldn't put whatever he put together three or four games. You know, I didn't see that from Flacco, and he got on one of those hot runs. I don't think Flacco's elite because he did win a Super Bowl, but I think Flacco was more of an admiration than anything. I think that's a good comparison. Not to say, you know, obviously it's hard to say. You know, he would never win a Super Bowl, but as his career wears on, I think, will he win a Super Bowl? And I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. The more I look at him, the more I just, you know, when I think of game managers, I think of guys like, you know, Jason Campbell, that type of thing. Like, I think he's a little bit better than just a game manager. Like, he's not elite by any means, but, like, I'm more impressed with him every time I see him.
Right.
He can't throw the deep ball. He's pretty accurate underneath. He doesn't turn the ball over. And we've already discussed, he's doing that on a team without a whole lot of weapons. He had like maybe three or four drop balls even in that game against Denver. So I guess that being said, I'm a little more on the Alex Smith bandwagon right now.
I'm glad. I mean, there's room, so, you know, get on.
I'll probably jump off here in a couple weeks, but
yeah, I'm sure that when the playoffs come around, he'll be right off.
I don't think that team's built to go on a deep run, especially without their with the injuries they've had. Like, that team's not built to go on a real deep run. You know, we've kind of seen the facade of defense and running game winning championships still. I don't know if that's still the case. I think you have to have those things, but how good do those two aspects of the game really need to be, I think, is under question. So that team, I mean, you give that team a few good wide receivers. I think next year they're going to be better. But
well, I'll tell you right now, I mean, we've given them a little bit more time on the show than they deserve. So,
we are.
you know, we're, neither one of us are on that bandwagon. They're one and done in the playoffs, so they may get a three seed, but they're not winning a game.
All right, well, let's go around the league a little bit. By the way, let me give you the number just in case. I haven't given out the number in case you're out there listening. Live, the number is 718-766-4553. Call it at any time. Any question you have, we'll do our best to answer it. And
yeah, call in with an argument or something. We're bored out here, so definitely call in. Fantasy football advice with the playoffs coming up
this week.
You know, I'm already a regular season champion of the league, so if you really need some good advice,
Big Mike, go ahead and call me.
3-6, three or six years champion,
though, right?
Both
your teams in, right?
Yeah, both my teams are in.
Okay.
The product speaks for itself, so. If you're one of those people that is sitting on the outside looking in, in any of your leagues, sorry for you, because I know I went straight across the board. So call in. We want to get back to this NFL. Real quick, we'll go through the Thanksgiving games, even though they were so long ago. Detroit, I think, showed that Green Bay is terrible without Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay's defense didn't look good. They're not playing well. I think it's time to stick a fork in Green Bay. I don't see them coming back. I know Chicago took a bad step this week, too, so that division's starting to shape up a little bit more. Rodgers may come back. I just think it's a little too late for them. They're not playing good football, and he's not going to miracle them back to playoff form. The other game, Raiders, they came out early and took a 21-7 lead on Dallas, and they weren't able to hang on. Bad teams find a way to lose. And then in the night game, Mike, I'll let you talk a little bit about that. I had Pittsburgh winning that one. Maybe that was really the only shocker of Thanksgiving Day. I thought Pittsburgh was on a hot streak. I thought maybe looking like a playoff contender, I keep wanting to. For whatever reason, I must be a Pittsburgh fan because I always have faith in Pittsburgh. But they weren't able to get over the hump. Emmanuel Sanders has terrible hands. So, anyways, what do you think?
Well, last few years, this has been a time of year the Ravens kind of had turned it on for the playoffs and kind of when the playoffs hot. So maybe, you know, right now, if the season ended today, as they always say, the Ravens would have that sixth seed. I don't think they're going to give it up. But as far as that game goes, I thought Pittsburgh had a real chance to pull that out. You're right, Emmanuel Sanders has horrible hands.
Big Ben's hot. He is putting the ball. He looks good.
I was just about to say,
he's on a better team.
That was an amazing throw. Like, it actually almost looked like it hooked behind the defender and it went right through his hands. You're right, he catches that ball. That was just in an overtime, so, you know, who knows what happened in overtime.
I don't know if you've seen earlier in the game, Sanders missed one where he slipped in the end zone and the ball still hit him in the chest. So, He slipped down and Big Ben dropped it right on him. So he caught some really two. He
right.
caught him the 2-point conversion and the touchdown. So I don't know. Stick a fork in Pittsburgh.
I say stick a fork in Pittsburgh, and you're right. Stick a fork. If I'm the Packers, I'm shutting Aaron Rodgers down personally for the rest of the year. I don't think that team has a chance to get into the Super Bowl, and there's no point in risking any further injuries. So.
And in honor of ASU football, I'm sticking forks in teams this week. Buffalo, that's another one. Stick a fork in them. I figured they would beat Atlanta. They didn't. The defense showed to be porous, which has played well really all year. Matt Ryan hasn't been able to get on track, and with I guess Roddy White being back probably helped, but I still didn't expect Atlanta to put 34 on Buffalo.
They gave up a big game to Roddy White. That actually probably is what put me in, so I'm not complaining. But you're right. Stick a fork in them. What do you got?
Stick a fork in the Jets, please. Fork them. Rex is back on the hot seat. That offense is all-time bad as far as if they can't run the ball, when they run the ball, which sometimes they do at home, they play well, but if they can't run the ball, they can't throw the ball, and really they can't throw the ball even when they can run the ball. So,
well, let me ask you this, though. Rex has kind of put together another that's a pretty good defense, which is a specialty. Does he get another year just based on the fact that, you know, who knows, that team's with a few weapons. Santonio Holmes has been hurt all year. Jeremy Curley was the best receiver until he got hurt.
Yeah.
They really have no receivers. You think maybe if they got him a couple of receivers, he gets another shot?
Well, maybe I'm buying what I hear on the radio, but I just think they got a new GM there. It's not Rex's guy. I think it's one of those situations where he needed to finish above 500 to keep his job, and he's not going to. And I think at 7-9, 6-10, wherever they finish, I think he's getting fired, honestly.
I agree.
He'll be a good defensive coordinator pickup. Shit, I wouldn't sit behind the lines bringing him in.
Sticking a fork in Tennessee?
Yeah, that was going to be my next one. They're down to their backup quarterback. They were in a must-win situation. I think all these teams were in must-wins and really didn't win. You know, I think Tennessee, as far as Munchak's concerned, he's somebody I maybe would bring back. I see slow improvement there. The defense got a lot better this year. They still haven't really figured out how to run the ball, which he's an offensive line guy, so maybe that's a red flag, but I think maybe that's just players more so than coaching. So I'll give Munchak the go ahead, but I'm forking the Titans.
Question of the day. Are you ready?
Give it to me.
Are we forking the Bears?
I'm forking the Bears. I think I think Mark Trestman showed he's a rookie head coach. I didn't see the end of the game. You know, I definitely wanted to ask you about it. What Robbie Gould missed one, huh?
He missed one.
I was surprised to see that.
They didn't deserve to win that game. They were up by 10 in the fourth quarter, a little 10-point lead to go in overtime. Even though I'm a Bear fan, I'm actually almost happy they lost, because I think if they pulled that out in overtime, that kind of justifies their poor play in the fourth quarter. And they deserve to lose that game. I was upset watching it. Actually, at some point, I think I turned to a different game. I was so angry. So,
and as a Bears fan, you probably seen them play all year. That's one of the worst run defenses in the entire league.
That was going to be my next question, or my next issue, I guess. Maybe this is more for rant time than now, but I'll give it. Like, you know me, I was against the firing of Lovie Smith. That team was 10-6. They didn't make the playoffs, but you know, they didn't make the playoffs because the NFC is good. Like, and basically, as you can see, what the Bears did coaching-wise, they traded defense for offense. That defense isn't as bad as it is now if Lovie's still the coach. Would you agree or disagree?
Oh, I would wholeheartedly agree. And I agree. I mean, it's hard to fire someone when they win 10 games. And it's a situation where I know you guys have what's your guy in the middle, Briggs?
Yeah.
He's been hurting, and I think he's a guy. He's kind of like Darrell Washington out here. I mean, sometimes one guy makes a huge difference, so – they haven't had him, but you're right. And you trade. I mean, Lovie Smith has been to a Super Bowl. Trestman made some questionable decisions. And I think, he's coaching the CFL, but I don't think that gives him the experience to, he hasn't managed a lot of NFL games. So I think definitely you guys would be, at least by the time the season's over, probably 1-2 games better with Smith. But also, I mean, it's a transition period. That's a direction you guys decided to go.
Right.
That kind of stuff takes more than 1 year. So I think if you're a Bears fan, you're not devastated. It's you're kind of going from one thing to another. So second year, that should be a time where you kind of talk about him more. He's still got some time to prove himself. But stick a fork in them, and like I mentioned earlier, stick a fork in Green Bay for that matter.
You love that, don't you? You love that, huh? Sticking a fork in the Bears and the Packers. You love that.
And the Vikings. I mean, not
well, the Vikings.
They've had it, but yeah.
Their fork's been in for.
Yeah, we're going to win a division, and I don't know how long it's been. I know when we went to the playoffs a few years back, we weren't division champs, so I know it's been years and years. And, you know, we're winning it by being the only team under 500, which I'll definitely take it.
There's a game we haven't covered, though. It's pretty good. Arizona and Philly. Do you get a chance to watch any of that?
I did, and I think, you know, actually that was the game I had to focus on the most, just being my watching situation. And I think in my heart I was actually probably kind of rooting for the Cardinals. It's hard for me to even spit that out, but that was a must-win for them just based on their schedule where they have Seattle and San Francisco. I think they had to go on the road and beat a Philadelphia team that's not a great team. So I think stick a fork in the Cardinals, and I mean as far as the breakdown of the game.
Wow, we're forking the Cardinals too.
Yeah, I'm forking the Cardinals. I know they. I know it's sitting at 7-5. They're definitely, you know, I think some people have high hopes, but yeah, I'm forking them. They don't have. They have offensive line issues. I think against teams that can pass rush, they tend to struggle. Bradley Snell on the left tackle, he's serviceable at best. I got to imagine in the offseason they've got to replace that guy. So, yeah, it's a big fork in them. I know Cardinal fans, I know you got hopes out there. You know, I'm here to dash them. I don't know, as far as the play of the game, what do you think? I mean, is Chip Kelly, are the Eagles, do you expect them to rise above Dallas, or you think Dallas will end up beating them in that last game and get
Ooh, that's tough. If I had to...
Well, that's what you get paid for, to prognosticate.
if I had to say, I think the Eagles... Right now, that defense has finally come along. Nick Foles, I keep saying every week he can't stay this hot, and then he stays this hot. So, I think the Eagles look like a better team than Dallas. So
he threw a bad pick that got called back. Did you see that?
I did see that. Because I heard them talking on some other shows about how he's 19 touchdowns, no picks. But, yeah, you're right, I did see that pick, and – like, even though it did get called back, that was horrible.
That was one of those Philly on the road calls, too, because from the replay, I think the Cardinals really didn't do much.
What did you think of the defensive holding call that eventually decided the game? Did you see that?
You know what? I didn't catch that. I was in transition, so you're going to have to tell me about it.
I was just – they were – I don't know how like to put it, but the Cardinals guy is blocking. I think that's back. The Eagles guy is blocking Shaughnessy, and he's at the last minute before Foles decides to throw, he decides to release. Shaughnessy kind of grabs him by the jersey, and they call defensive holding. But they were engaged in a block at the time. And, you know, they go on. They had Mike Pereira talk, and he says, oh, there's no way that should have been a penalty. And, you know, everyone's in an uproar. It was a bad call, but that's not the reason the Cardinals lost. I wish you had seen it, because I'm sure I didn't explain it well. But it was a bad call. It gave the Eagles the first down, and then they went on and ran out the clock after that. So,
like I said, I watched a lot early on in the game, and it sounds like the Cardinals definitely caught a few bad breaks, but that happens on the road too.
Right.
So. Yeah, tough loss for the Cardinals. I really do feel bad a little bit, but we'll see. Another surprise shocker for me was Jacksonville got another win this week. Gordon went for 200 in the same game. I'm shocked by Jacksonville. I didn't see them winning definitely not more than two. So
they've been a little bit better second half of the season. I'll say this: when they play a bad team, they're taking advantage of playing other bad teams. They beat the Texans and they beat Cleveland. And Cleveland's back to playing Brandon Whedon, and now he's even out. So they're playing some guy named Alex Tanney this week. They won more games than I thought they won, but they're still Jacksonville. And like you said, they've had a fork in them for a while. What about we're forking St. Louis, correct?
I think they showed some improvement, but put a fork in St. Louis with Kellen Clemens at quarterback. You're not making the playoffs, and you're definitely not making the NFC. So, stuff to build on there. You know, you can still put a positive spin on it. But
we're obviously forking the Redskins.
Actually, that's one forking Mike Shanahan, too. So
Shanahan's not going to make it?
He shouldn't, because I don't know. Did you watch the Monday night game? I mean, they're throwing the balls when they get up. They're talking shit to each other.
Yeah. That seems
they're punting balls out of the end zone.
That seems out of control, yeah.
there's something going on. He doesn't have any control there. So.
Honestly, I think part of their problem is I've never really been a big fan of this dude from the start. I think a lot of their problem is
he's arrogant. He hired his son.
He's arrogant. He hired his son.
He's underqualified.
And they put too much on this quarterback who's, like, you know, he was dynamic last year, but he constantly stands up in press conferences and says things he shouldn't say. Like, I question Shanahan's leadership, the nepotism of hiring his son in the first place, and I question RG3's leadership. And it's obvious because there's a lot of players coming out saying things that they shouldn't say about the quarterback.
Right, so yeah, forking disarray. What about your San Diego Chargers? That's a little tougher call. Are you forking them?
Yeah, I'm forking them.
Really?
I like my San Diego Chargers.
You bet on them against the spread every other week.
And they let me down every other week.
So that's how they became yours. But okay, you're forking them. I'm not ready to fork them yet. I'm saying maybe they can run the table. I think they got 3 out of 4 games at home. There's gonna be one surprise come from behind type thing. Their defense isn't good, but maybe playing at home and just outscoring people, I expect and hope Phillip Rivers has some big games down the stretch, and I think he will. He's been a yardage leader all year, and I don't see any reason for that to change. So maybe they can pull out a couple wins, but I can't fork them until they lose next week. And they got the Giants, which do you have a fork in the Giants?
Yes.
so easy for you to put forks in teams.
I mean, they start off the year 0-6. The four wins in a row doesn't mean anything to me. We're forking them.
What about the Dolphins?
I don't know. That's a tough one. They're actually playing pretty good. They're beating the teams.
Come on.
Well, and the Dolphins I heard this on TV today, the Dolphins have the easiest schedule of all the teams that are left in playoff contention right now, so they can get fat on some bad teams and possibly sneak in.
Okay.
No? Is that ridiculous?
I mean, you were forking these other teams. I don't know. I guess head-to-head they also lost to San Diego. I just feel like when I look at San Diego and I look at Miami, I think San Diego's a better team.
I think San Diego's a better team, but that's not always what counts. I mean, it's who you play and it's when you play them.
No, you're right. Those are good points. So you might be onto a little something.
Yeah, well, so as of right now, we pretty much forked everybody. We haven't forked Detroit. We haven't forked Dallas. We didn't fork Indy. We didn't fork Carolina. We didn't fork New England. I didn't fork Miami. Did you? You didn't say. Did you fork Miami?
No, I'm not forking them.
All right.
I'm just talking.
We didn't fork Miami. We didn't fork San Fran. We didn't fork Cincinnati. We didn't fork Baltimore. Did we fork Pittsburgh?
I think San Fran's a team to be. I think they're on the rise. I'm forking Pittsburgh. Didn't I fork Pittsburgh?
I couldn't remember.
I felt like, I think that Big Ben had a defense to play with. I like him down the stretch. He always plays well at this time of year, but.
I am not forking Pittsburgh.
No, huh?
Nah.
Have
not
you,
ready
the,
yet.
The defense is bad.
The defense is bad. There's a lot of bad defense. Denver, the defense is bad. There's a lot of bad defenses in the league right now. I mean.
I hear you. There is going to be somebody that comes out of nowhere, so.
I think the way the league, you know me, I'm big on all this stuff. The way the league is now, having a bad defense isn't a killer anymore. Like, I think Denver's going to go deep in the playoffs with a bad defense.
Well, okay, that's true. What about winning Super Bowls?
I mean, I just don't.
When was the last bad defense to win a Super Bowl?
That Saints defense wasn't really good the year they won the Super Bowl.
I don't know. They played good that year.
They played good in the playoffs.
They were getting paid extra money to smash people. Come on.
They were getting, well, allegedly getting paid extra money to smash people.
Well, I mean, people served suspensions for that. I don't think that was alleged.
Oh,
I think people admitted to that.
Vilma didn't. Vilma never admitted to it.
He didn't sit in Goodell's office. I'm sure he admitted to something.
The year Peyton won his Super Bowl. That defense played good in the playoffs.
No, that's
that
true. He's an anomaly. That's only why he's only won one, because he's the best quarterback in the league, and he's only got one Super Bowl.
That defense had Bob Sanders and good pass rushes, and that's it.
Well, for all you guys like Mike that have Denver and Seattle penciled in for the Super Bowl, just remember.
That is not true, actually. I don't have
Just remember that only two ones have actually won the Super Bowl in the last 10 years. So I say look out.
You're picking right now then, buddy.
Look out for New England. Look out for San Fran. Seattle is going to be tough to beat. It's going to take a good defense, which San Fran qualifies. Look out for Carolina. I think just in one game, if Cam cannot turn the ball over, I think those guys become tough to beat. They got a good defense, and they might be a year away. But I can see them making some noise and upsetting somebody, maybe upsetting going on the road and upsetting Seattle. So
I'll tell you what, I like Carolina more and more every time I see them. That's a good defense. And Cam might be the best running, non-running back I've ever seen. Like when he sees a hole, like, man, he hits it like a running back. So
what about big star Lotulelei over there? You seen him play? The number one pick?
I have.
Oh, give my Utah some credit. You know what? But if you go back to the draft, he probably should have been the number one overall pick. He slid in the draft.
The heart problem, right?
Well, I was trying to tell people, I mean, if he's medically cleared, this guy's, not a ask as far as a difference maker in the middle. So, when he went like 12th or 16th or something, he should have been a lot higher pick. So.
See, I agree. But
Carolina got lucky, so that's good that he
did. It is, you have to admit, it is difficult, and I don't know what kind of information they get, but it's kind of difficult to, I mean, a heart ailment is, that's a big deal. Like, I could see teams shying away from that. Not a big deal. It's a big deal.
Well, you probably were the kid in the parking lot in the playground that treated the kids with the holes in their heart differently. So,
well, I didn't know any kids with the holes in their heart, but I mean, you know, I'm sure, when we're lining up to pick sides, like if I know a kid has a hole in his heart, I might not pick that kid.
Oh, we digress, but we're gonna come back from break. We're gonna talk. We are gonna finish up NFL. And then I'm going to ask Mike, I got a question for him. We went to a basketball tournament in 2009, and we've seen one of the top, I would say 15 to 20 college basketball stars, maybe a preseason first or second team All-American. We've seen him play. I'm going to see if Mike remembers who it was, because he was a freshman at that time, and he's transferred a few times since. So I'm going to hit him with that little piece of trivia. And then we'll finish up NFL. And if there's anybody out there listening, and you got anything you want to talk about, call in. Mike, go ahead and give the number before we go to break.
718-766-4553. We'd love to hear from you. We've had one call since we started doing this, so hit us up. Two. All right.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy. You feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on All Things Sports. We're going to talk a little fantasy football. Most of your standard leagues have their fantasy playoffs starting this week.
Well, before we get into that, we got all the listeners on the edge of their seats. Me and Mike, we traveled out to Vegas for a preseason tournament one year. We've seen Illinois, Oklahoma State. We also seen Utah, and do you remember the fourth team?
Bradley
was up there. Yep, that was the other team. And we've seen those four teams play along with some. There was a little lower bracketed tournament, and. Back then, there was a freshman basketball player, and I was going to see, Mike, did you know who that was that we've seen that's a star today?
Was it Rodney Hood?
It was not Rodney Hood.
Oh, all right.
I was surprised. I seen it, and it was something I discovered doing in my own research. I happened to had looked this guy up, and I seen that he had played at Utah, and he had played there in 2009, and I thought, man, that was the same time we went to the tournament.
You think he's still in college now?
Still in college now. You want one more guess?
He would be at least a senior, right?
Well, I think he probably is a senior, yeah.
He's a star?
Star. I'll give you a more hint. Maybe you can. This will give it to you. He led the SEC in scoring last year.
SEC in scoring. I don't know.
Marshall Henderson for Ole Miss.
I should have known that.
We've seen him play. He was a guard on Utah.
I should have known that. Yeah, I wasn't.
Anyways, yeah, I figured that was a good one.
That was a good one. I should have known that.
Trivia. So he's back after his
He's on another drug suspension, is he?
Again, or we? I think he came back. He had to serve the first.
It was like first few games, right?
Yeah, he's already back.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, he's already pushing people in the stands and doing.
Good for him.
He seems like a great character.
Yeah, he likes smoking weed. I mean, you know.
But. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think he's tested positive for other drugs amongst things too.
That
so.
Is true.
But yeah, no. Anyways, back to fantasy football. You know, hopefully, like I mentioned earlier, if you're in any leagues, you're a fantasy football guy. Hopefully, you made the playoffs. Otherwise, this is a sad time of year. I know. Mike's been in that boat before where, you know, you kind of just feel down and out and he's talking about you're never going to play fantasy football again and different things that I've heard come from Mike. But I know he was able to get in both of his leagues too. So I'll tell you what, matchups are key in the playoffs. And I don't know, Mike, do you have anybody on your team that you're licking your chops with the matchup?
I don't know if I'm licking my chops, but, like, I do think this – I think I can win. I didn't think that. 2 weeks ago, well, if you listen, you heard me on there, pretty much killed my team's chances 3 weeks ago. But no, I think I got a shot. I got it.
It's good to hear a little confidence in your voice. It'll be great. It'll be great to be on next week and have the same conversation because things do change quickly. So.
Oh man, you know me. I go from being higher than a kite to like lower than dirt, like in a matter of seconds. But I will say this, I have players, like, the good thing is I have players on my team who are capable of, like, having big days, like, really blowing it up. You never know, like I got LeSean McCoy, he can get a big game at any time. Cam can get a big game at any time.
Yeah, he can get a big game this week.
Jeffrey had I don't know if he'll never have as big a game as he had this week, but he's capable, so. And,
he is. I'll be honest. Me and Mike, we play in the same league, and he was gonna get seeded about 7 or 8, and you know, I was gonna be the one seed, and believe me, from I was really hoping and praying that I didn't play you because I see your team the same way. You know, any week, nobody wants to face Cam Newton in the fantasy playoffs. You just don't. Even if the rest of your roster is bad, he goes over 30 quite a bit, so. Really, he just needs one little, a 60-yard run seems to be, you know, something. Or to run for 60 is something he does almost every week. So those are the extra points.
Yeah, he's good for a rushing touchdown, which is a few more than a passing touchdown. So, I think I got a shot. Like I said, I think the thing that's really going to tell me whether my team is good or not, I finally got a good game from Roddy White. If he's back to being Roddy White, I think I have a real shot at doing something. So.
And then look, just the stuff we care about. I mean, I'm sure no one listening cares. There's also in the other league that we share as a part of. Do you think the team that's on top, that's the whole band squad? Not the fantasy team are unbeatable, but that's one of the best fantasy teams that I've seen in a while. And if I prognosticate other things, and that's just kind of what we do. He's an overwhelming favorite to me. I think in the other league with the big money on the line, I think a lot of teams could probably come out on top there.
No, you're right. When I look at his team,
that team is unbelievable.
The first thing I know we didn't draft that team. Were we just not paying attention on waiver weeks or what?
Well, he had to have stolen Josh Gordon. I don't know. Yeah, and he Stafford fell, I think, on depending on what fantasy draft and when he drafted. Stafford fell a lot in the fantasy draft. And I don't know. He was just able to piece. He drafted Gordon, who was suspended for 2 games. And then Le'Veon Bell, who was out for 4 or 5 games to start the season. So I think he took big, kind of big risk, big reward guys,
right.
And he just hit the jackpot.
Real quick, did you see that hit the goal line on Le'Veon Bell in the game this week?
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, as an owner, that hurt. I don't know what you think. I think him hitting his head on the ground was the worst knock, too.
I think
that's what put him to sleep.
Yeah, the whiplash of him in his head on the ground, I think, is what put him to sleep, not the helmet, actually. But I'm sure the helmet followed by the whiplash. I'd be shocked if he played this week.
Can you imagine if that was 4th down too, with that helmet rule? It's kind of good. I'll be able to remember that rule now.
Although, the moment the helmet comes off.
Yeah, if that was 4th down and he scores a touchdown and they take it away because his helmet came off? Oof, that would be, they have to amend that somehow. I don't know. That would have been a bad deal.
Speaking of that game, we haven't even talked about the Mike Tomlin controversy.
Man, he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
And they're treating it accordingly. All the things I'm hearing are high number fines, taking away draft picks, which are all real serious things in the NFL. So, I think the video evidence, it's obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious. They've gone against the draft picks. They're just going to take his money.
And then that's hilarious. I mean, what is he? I mean, I guess you're just in the heat of the moment. What is he thinking? I mean,
that's all heat of the moment. That's Woody Hayes heat of the moment. This guy's running for a touchdown. That's it. That's all he did.
And he really did affect the play too. So they got to hit him hard. It's just funny that he did that.
It was funny, but no, I agree. I think because I like Mike Tomlin, I initially tried to do the whole but the more I looked at the tape, that was extremely intentional. But what we haven't talked about that we need to get to is the Iron Bowl. Did you see the Iron Bowl?
Were you watching live?
Yes.
Oh man, I gotta go. That was probably one of the most. I was not old enough to watch the Stanford band play. I'm sure you were in the stands or something, but that was the most shocking ending that I've ever seen. I kept thinking the camera angle they showed. I thought that eventually there would be a line of Alabama players to make the tackle. The fact that no one made it over to that sideline and he didn't step out of bounds, and it's just crazy. I mean, the fact that Nick Saban decided to do a field goal, the announcers are saying Hail Mary. As I'm watching live, I'm thinking they'll do a Hail Mary. And then they bring in a kicker who actually made a pretty good kick, but shocker. The scene on the field was great.
The thing that amazed me is it looked like the Alabama, everyone gives Nick Saban credit for always having his team prepared, et cetera, et cetera. It appeared that the idea of them returning that never crossed his mind. Like, they were ill-prepared for that to happen. They had a bunch of fat linemen in the game.
Right, it looked like they hadn't practiced it.
Yeah, the possibility of him returning that looked like it never crossed his mind. And you're right, when they got over to the sidelines, it almost looked like he stepped out of bounds, but his heel came up. I was actually texting with a friend of mine who was with a guy who was an Auburn fan, and when they threw the 99-yard touchdown, we all said game over. All of us said game over. I got to give Auburn a ton of credit. I thought they were dead in the water. That's 2 weeks in a row where they just pulled miracles out, man. I literally was speechless after the return. All I said was wow. It was by far the most the craziest ending into a football game I think I've ever seen. And I saw the Stanford band.
Right. I got a shocking and with more on the line. And what about if Mike Tomlin's coach in Alabama? Does he make that play?
I think Mike Tomlin might make that tackle, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was letting that. Mike Tomlin wouldn't have let that one go. So.
I don't even think anybody from Alabama got outside the hash marks to even be in position to make a tackle, did they?
Nah, they had a few people, about three people got cleaned up, too. I mean,
yeah.
Auburn had that. They set up a perfect goal. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Auburn because, really, it was such a technically sound play that they ran. It wasn't kind of like a luck miracle thing. They were ready to go. So.
Ohio State, Michigan. Should he have not went for two there?
He should have went for two. I liked it. I think if I change anything there, I change the play call. I would have ran it. That Ohio State is a Swiss cheese D. I would have ran the ball, but I like going for it. I think in overtime, Braxton Miller. It seemed like Ohio State was running at will. If they're going to go in and score, I think it increases percentages to win the game. I mean, I really do. I think he did the right thing. It just didn't work out.
Right.
You got to have big balls to make that call, and he had big balls. And
you don't play for. I mean, the rule is usually as you.
I know the rule, but I don't think they could have stopped Ohio State. They're not going to stop them. Their best chance would have been another two touchdowns and go for two. I mean, they weren't going to stop them, and he knew that.
Okay, so you don't believe in the idea of you play for the win on the road?
Well, I think you know your team. I think if I'm Michigan State and I'm in that same situation, I kick an extra point immediately because my D is so damn good. If I'm Michigan and I think Ohio State was going to score again. So I like it. I think it basically turns the game into a coin flip. But if you would have said, "Hey, you'll have a coin flip before the game," they would have took that. So, I think he did the big ball thing. And so, you obviously, are you telling me you think they should have went to overtime? Yeah, there's a bunch of people on TV talking. I think he made the right decision.
I agree with you in the sense that he probably knows his team better than I do. If I'm coaching that team, I play for overtime. Yeah. And the reason being, I'm generally more conservative than you are anyway in situations like that. But the reason being is just that I'm at home. They're not really stopping me either. So, really, I mean, it comes down to you're right. Like, at some point, you're right. At some point, I'm probably going to have to make a two-point conversion to win anyway.
Michigan State will beat Ohio State. That's another college clad lock for you guys out there.
So you're saying...
Well, yeah, I already know. Michigan State beats Ohio State.
Auburn beats Missouri. We assume.
That one's going to be tougher. I think 2.5-point spread, and I mean, of course, I would touch it, but I think Missouri can win that. So I think you're going to have a mess. Honestly, I think you're going to have people clamoring for Alabama to be back in the championship game against Florida State. So
I'll tell you this: if Missouri does win that game, I'd rather see Alabama in Florida State than Missouri in Florida State.
Well, yeah, and so would the rest of the country. So, yeah, and the BCS has been known to do that before, is put teams in that didn't play in conference championships. So I wouldn't be shocked. But I'm telling you right now, Michigan State beats Ohio State. Michigan State's defense is one of the best. I don't know, are you watching any Michigan State?
Yeah, I'd watch Michigan State.
You haven't been watching. That's all you do is watch football? How are you watching all these games?
I watch a lot of football.
Okay. Well,
I let my two-year-old run around in circles, and I watch football.
Sounds like a good day. I got Michigan State beating Ohio State. Auburn's maybe over Missouri, and then, I think if Auburn wins, I think that they would play in. And I think if Missouri won, you could have a mess. So.
You can have a big mess. What about
Auburn doesn't have a great D, so they're going to give up points to Missouri. That's another coin flip game.
All right. Big hire. What do you think about the big hire?
Eddie O, say it ain't so.
Eddie O bounced on him.
Well, yeah, he sounds like them sour grapes. He sounds like a puss to me. I mean, they offered him, you can be the top paid assistant coach in college football, and he quit. Like, I heard him kind of talking stuff today. This guy pledges his allegiance to USC a week ago, and I'm USC for life and blah, blah, blah. And then he could help the program if he stays on by kind of bridging the gap in recruiting and coaching the bowl game. And then being the highest paid assistant, and he quits. I mean, Eddie O, you sound like a puss, dude. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go coach now? Now you quit. You quit on your team. Where are you going to go coach? I wouldn't hire him. I think he's emotional in the games. I think he's a big puss, and he showed it. And I'm sorry. That's what I believe. I think he debacled under pressure is what it seemed like.
He was obviously.
He got his feelings hurt. He's a grown man.
He obviously felt that he deserved the job, and he obviously was hurt that he didn't get the job, and he did act a little, I would say that's probably not the appropriate way to act in a situation like that.
Well, do you agree with me, too, that hurts his chances of getting a different job?
Well, the point I was going to make is if he stays and he's a part of the USC resurrection, now he's like the hottest assistant coach out there.
He's picking a job.
Yeah, he had a better shot at a good job had he stayed than handling it this way.
Right, so, now he's going to coordinate the offensive line for Tulane or somebody. So, good job, Eddie O. As far as it for USC, what do you think? Is Sark the man? I don't know. I'm caught in between on this one. I think he's capable of being a great coach and kind of resurging them. But I don't know. Something's not quite right with him either. I don't know.
Him and Lane Kiffin are boys, right? Did you know that?
Yeah. They were on that USC staff together.
Not that that means anything, but
He hasn't won yet, which I'm not saying. He's kind of been a 500 guy, but it's tough to win, when you're not one of the major teams in the conference. This one could go either way.
My problem with the hire,
you better win immediately, though.
Well, my problem with the hire, Sarkisian, is that I like to think that if you're USC, you could do better. No, is there better? There's got to be better. I don't know if there's better candidates out there, but I'm sure you could do.
This seems to be Pat Hayden's thing, though. I think that's how Lane Kiffin got there. I think it's the same crowd. They keep wanting to bring guys that were there during the glory years.
Yeah, they bring them back, yeah.
And you've seen, if you think back through your lifetime, you've seen other programs do that where somebody that was maybe an iconish type or, someone like Pete Carroll that had a lot of success and then left to do other things or whatever reason. Those teams always chase that greatness, and they go into a lull. You can use USC as that example. They had the success under John Robinson, and then they were brutal in the '90s and changed coaches a bunch of times. Maybe trying to return to that. So, from the recruiting things I've seen, USC is they're getting consistently out recruited by Arizona State,
right,
by Oregon, of course. So. I think USC is maybe not the job. I think that's why you've seen even somebody like Kevin Sumlin pass on it. It's not maybe the job that, Carroll was able to get that Hollywood thing going, and they were paying players, and they kind of had that nice run, but they're gonna digress. They're not going to be a
tactic. You hear what Sumlin's demand was for the job, right? That he was the only guy interviewed. He basically wanted them to – he didn't want it to be in the news that he was even interviewing. He wanted them to give him the job or he wasn't even going to mess with it. Which you going to do?
Yeah, I don't blame him. If he had some leverage and he said that, and he maybe in his mind he's like, I don't want it all that bad anyway.
Oh, maybe he got the. I think he did it because he just got the extension from A&M.
Right, and he probably. I got to imagine he's sitting in a recruiting. In Texas, he probably feels like he can win from there. You're in the SEC. Why not?
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break. I'm gonna get Miller's. Take off some more. These conference championship games are coming up this weekend. Since he's so adamant on knowing the Big Ten, let's see what he knows on some other stuff. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll pick Mr. Miller's brain. So hold on a minute.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, Time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back live here on All Things Sports. Like I said, we're going to get into these conference championships this week. Mr. Miller, once upon a time, he called himself the Vegas Syndicate. I don't have any luck.
Guru, technician, mastermind, 9 out of 10, 2 weeks ago in college, big hitter crusher. So I'm going to drop my knowledge. Hit me with some questions all on right. The championships. And I'm going to give you all the winners.
All right. Pac-12, ASU plays at home against Stanford. Who you got?
I got ASU. I think the momentum, they've won 7 in a row. The defensive line is almost unblockable right now. Will Sutton's finally he seems to have lost the little baby fat he had at the first of the season, and he's opening up things for other guys. I think that at home they're going to have the crowd behind them, and I think ASU with the momentum. Prediction, I'm going ASU 34, Stanford 28. Stanford has the last drive maybe to win it, and ASU stands up. I think it's going to be a great game, so get your popcorn for that one.
I love it. I actually –
You're going to jump on my bandwagon, huh?
I'm probably going to take Stanford.
Well, there's 0-1.
They're a more physical team. And ASU, I mean, ASU can get physical too, but,
ASU is putting it on people right now. They got a better offense.
They do have a better offense. I think Stanford has a better defense. Actually, I do like ASU's defense. I like Sutton and Bradford. I don't want to sound like a flip-flopper, so I'll stick with Stanford, but you might have just talked me off.
ASU, they made some adjustments against Stanford in the second half, and Stanford just doesn't play as well away from home. So, pencil in ASU there. I think ASU is going to – that leads me to my next prediction is you got Ohio State and Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship, and I think Michigan State is going to win outright, and I think you're going to have an ASU-Michigan State Rose Bowl with Ohio State left on the outside looking in. From what I've seen from Ohio State, I think they're explosive. They struggled earlier with Wisconsin, and I just think Michigan State is a far better team than a Wisconsin team. And I think on a neutral site, the emotion of last week's game, I don't know if they have any leftover suspensions from the little ball that they had, but give me Michigan State rolling on. I think Michigan State, I think in a lot of these you got to go with momentum, so just predicting these games, I think, Michigan State got the momentum as well as Arizona State. And then with the last game, SEC, I think you got to go – there's two teams that both have momentum. And I think just being a betting person and seeing the spread at 2, with as much momentum as Auburn has, I think maybe a little too much, maybe riding high. I have a sneaky suspicion that Missouri may come out on top. So, what do you think? You agree with me on those last two, or you got different? I think maybe we're different on all three. You like Ohio State.
I like Ohio State, yeah. And not because I agree with you. I basically agree with everything you said. I just don't know if Michigan State's going to be able to put up enough points to win that game. I think that their defense is good, but I think Michigan State has the realistically, they have to hold Ohio State to 21 points to have a shot at winning that game. I just don't know if they can do that.
I agree, and I think they're going to have to win a close game. I definitely see it the same, but let me pose this question to you. Can Braxton Miller win a close game? Is he clutch? Is he with the crowd going and, the lights on in the fourth quarter? You're down 21-17 and you got to make a touchdown drive. Is he doing that?
That's a good point, because I actually thought they should have stuck with the other guy when Miller was hurt. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, you can't bench this guy. He's the number one recruit.
I agree. I know why he didn't mention him. I just don't know if he's the best quarterback on that team, and you're right.
He can run.
He can run.
And he can run, but other than that, I don't know. I don't know if he's your fourth quarter comeback guy.
He's not your fourth quarter comeback guy, but I don't think.
Well,
I don't
playing that good of a defense, he might have to do it.
Well, I don't think they'll have to worry about that. I think they'll be ahead going into the fourth quarter, so I don't know if that's going to be an issue. We don't even need to really pick the. Do we need to pick the ACC game?
Did you see the line?
Well, no, what is it?
Well, give me a guess.
21.
It is Florida State minus 29 going against Duke. So.
I would say, actually, I would, if you know, if you had, I wouldn't touch it, but if I had to bet it, I would take Florida State.
Yeah, you would, yeah. And I could see an easy 45-10, something like that. Duke's got a ton of heart. They don't have the dogs to stay in that race. So, yeah, we don't need to pick that. What about Missouri-Auburn? Who you got? You got Auburn.
I got Auburn.
Yeah, okay, so we are different on all three.
We are different on all three. Imagine that. I feel like the money should change hands here.
Okay, well, you know, I've been doing it all year, so we'll see. Just like you guys, you know, you want to talk and text and say how great your NFL prowess is. My college prowess is second to none. And then let me give a little shout-out. You know, I picked 10 games a week this year against the spread, and I finished a good buddy of ours, Adam Hill. We both picked 10 games a week against the spread. And how many games do you think I finished ahead of him after a full season of doing that college football?
No, no, you were squawking quite a bit earlier in the year about how bad you were beating him. So
20 games I beat him by. So none of you guys are beating me by 20 in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, I'm putting this out there right now. I'm not winning the NFL this year. It's already a done deal. So I think I want to put this out there maybe to you and then to also to Adam. Right now, let's just call it. It's over. You guys got me. There's no reason to draw this out. So me and Adam are going to be even. We'll call that off. And then we'll each owe you. I mean, what would you say that the dinner bet usually amounts to one person? About $40 on average?
I suppose.
Right. So we each owe you about $40. I say from because I'm going to prove my NFL prowess, too, because I'm tired of, you know, there's all this tongue-in-cheek. You used to call yourself the syndicate and these things. And, you know, obviously I've already started my rant early. But what I'm getting at is I want to pick every game against the spread the rest of the year. And I guarantee I'll come out on top. And I got 100 to put on that. And I think both you two should pull out 100. And then, you know, I'll go celebrate with my 200 newfound dollars at the new year. And, and probably put that on some more games. So if you if you're up to that, let me know because I went 0-3 again this week. And
can I say something?
I think I'm out.
All right. I only have one rebuttal to that. Is that the only thing I'm tongue in cheek about is because you know this is kind of a yearly thing here. This is yearly.
I didn't finish last year.
Okay, that's the only year you didn't finish last. Correct.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yes or no, did I just make a true statement?
You did make a true statement, right. But let me first say in my defense, when I'm tongue-in-cheek about fantasy, which if you want to give me stats and different things year after year, in 6 years I finished in first place in the regular season 3 times. I've won the league 50% of the time. I'm winning the most games. So if you go head-to-head in fantasy, I'm drafting the players I'm picking, my GM skills are 10 times of the other peasants in the league.
Well,
so,
let me ask you this. Hey, do I not always give you your credit when it comes to fantasy? You're better than me at that. I say that all the time. Correct?
Correct. But
all I'm saying is that I have won this little challenge we do every year, except I probably won't win this year, but I've won every other year. I mean, can we give me a small bit of credit for that? A little bit?
You never finished last?
I've never finished last. I've never finished second.
Ooh.
Only first.
All right, well, credit where credit is due.
All right.
Something to think about. I'm ready to call this year off. This is a laugher.
We actually have a caller.
Well, let's go then.
Right.
My rant has caused the call.
Caller, you're on the air live on All Things Sports. Who are we talking to and where are you from? Hello. Caller. All right.
Somebody called by accident, but.
All right.
Well, I hear you. Hey, I'm glad.
Sorry, but call back if you, you know.
Call back if that rant really, if you need to talk, because I'm ready to go right now. I'm a little
you seem a little amped up.
Yeah, I mean, in the studio here, Mike's got the heat on, so, and I'm wearing a sweater, so.
All right. So, we picked all the conference championships. How about we take another little quick one? We'll come back. We'll do some baseball talk. We'll go on our personal rants, and then we'll end our show on. I don't know. You got any more rant left in you, Miller?
I got much more where that came from. So tune in after the break.
All right.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce my dad because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot. But I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work, driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on All Things Sports. We'll get into a little baseball talk right now. We haven't been on in a couple weeks, so we haven't had a chance to talk about the biggest trade of the offseason to date. Prince Fielder going to Texas for Ian Kinsler. I think they said Fielder and Cash. You got a winner or a loser on that trade?
Oh, have you ever? I was gonna say, have you ever heard my stance on Fielder before?
No, I have not.
I think he's a loser, and when I say that, not in life or anything like that, but I think he plays losing baseball. And I know he plays every game. I've had this argument with a few people. He plays a lot of games. He puts up numbers. But if you, I know just from watching, if you pull his postseason stats, they're atrocious. I don't think he tries hard. I don't think he plays different in big games versus small games. Every game's a big game. I just think he's just kind of like a machine on the field. So, long story short, I think he got traded for a reason. I think the people on the inside in Detroit knew, cancer maybe to say. And so I think Texas was the loser on that one.
Wow. I'll say. Actually, I think the Tigers won, too, actually, on that trade for different reasons than you. One is that's a huge contract. Getting rid of that contract frees up enough money. Like, they've already signed Joe Nathan.
Traded Pfister, did they?
Yeah.
That's kind of a loss. I don't know. But I guess, obviously, for more cash reasons.
Well, I think they're going to really need the pony up to re-sign Scherzer, and I think they need to re-sign Scherzer. So I think right now, like, getting rid of Fielder was to free up money for that. So I think that helps. I guess they can move Cabrera back to first base because he probably shouldn't be playing third.
But he's not bad, though.
He's not bad, but I think
he's got to finish his career at first.
Yeah, I think you could move him back to first base. Supposedly they got some kid in their farm system that's ready to come up and play third. So I think getting rid of Fielder at one makes your defense better because I think Cabrera is actually a better first baseman than Fielder is at first base, and you probably can get a better third baseman. It frees up money so you can sign, like I said, you can sign Scherzer.
You had an all-star second baseman?
Exactly. You had an all-star second baseman. I think the only thing Texas gets out of the deal, they needed another bat in the middle of that lineup. They got one. But I think Fielder's only good, and we haven't seen him.
For numbers.
Well, I would say we haven't seen Fielder yet without, you know, he's batting behind Braun in Milwaukee. He's batting behind Cabrera in Detroit. Like, let's see how Fielder does when he's supposed to be the guy.
The lead dog. Well, and you're right. He is the main guy out there, but there's still some bats. They'll be able to protect him in that lineup.
Well, they'll have Nelson Cruz, and they'll have
Adrian
Rios. Beltre.
What about Beltre? Beltre? Is he gone?
No, Beltre's still there.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even be – I mean, yeah, it's not a win-win. I got to pick a side, and I got to go Detroit. Perfect. What about, as a White Sox fan, you think Detroit's their pencils in next year too?
I don't think Cleveland's not going to get better. We're not going to get better. The Royals probably played as good as they can with the amount of money they have last year. I think Detroit's going to lock on that division probably for a while. And if they resign Scherzer, if they keep Scherzer and Verlander at the top of that rotation 1-2, I can't see them not winning that division.
What's the second biggest trade that we've seen or movement in baseball?
David Freese for Peter Borges. That's not a big trade.
That Fisher trade's probably more.
Was that a trade, or did they just sign him? Was he a free agent? Or was that a trade?
I think it was a trade. Oh,
okay.
If I read that correctly, don't quote me on
trade.
It. But I think it was a trade, and I think you add him to Jordan Zimmerman and Gio and Strasburg. I mean, as a number four, Doug Fisher's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
I think that's a big trade, actually. I think that.
I thought that was a free agent signing, but yeah, that's a trade. That is the second biggest trade. What did they give up? What did the Nationals send back?
I would have to look. I don't think it was a major league. I think it was more draft consideration.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good rotation. Your boys signed they signed Dan Heron, right?
They did, and I think same situation. They're not asking him to come in to be a top three guy. He's more of a number four there. And I think, I think that's a strong signing. You know, he was down here last year, but he was one of the leads there for, a few years. And if he hasn't been eaten up by too many innings, then I think putting him in number four just adds to the Dodger, the arsenal. And, I think San Francisco, they've tried to make some moves in that division. Arizona is going to battle. They're kind of going to play their little Kirk Gibson baseball hustle.
That'll never win, but.
And play hard and finish third. And
yeah, they'll love it here, but it's not championship baseball.
Well, if you talk to the people around here, if Ryan Braun would have been juiced up in the playoffs, then they would have made a run that year. But
nah, I disagree. But you're right.
That's if you talk around town.
I get it.
And then when do the winter meetings go? Because that's kind of when you see that's when the hot stove really gets going.
I'm not sure, but that is when it really gets going.
And then that'll give us a chance to, because then we'll really have some people move around and to talk some more baseball.
One thing that really bothered me today was my boy. I went to Boston. My boy AJ signed with Boston today. I was okay with AJ in Texas. I'm not okay with AJ in Boston. I don't know.
He went to Boston, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Chasing another ring, I guess.
You know what I thought it said when I read that? I read that maybe scrolling across the bottom of one of those sports channels, and I thought that was the White Sox had signed him. But
nah, we don't. We need a catcher, but
well, AJ's a winner because I think
AJ is a winner.
I think the Red Sox found out in the postseason that Salta Lamaki is not the guy to have in there.
You already know this. But I'm a big AJ fan, so I'd like to see him win another one, but not with Boston. So I can't sign up for that, but.
Hey, did you see, I know kind of switching gears, but did you see the, over the Auburn-Alabama game that some lady killed two people at her house after watching the game? Did you see that story?
Oh, no, I did not see that story.
She, this is a story that's coming out. I just thought it was funny. She shot two people and killed, she was a lady and she killed two of her lady friends, all around the same age, that they were joking around and not taking the loss serious enough after the game. And she
lady did this? That sounds like some gosh stuff.
Not taking the loss serious enough. And she's really holding on to that story.
Wow. That is, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, no, that was hilarious. And then another little wacky story I've seen was there's a ticket out there with Auburn that was bet last January after they went 0-8 in the SEC. And it's them to win the national championship, and the guy has $100 on it. He's an Auburn grad. It's from the Paris, and he has $100 on it, and it's 500-1. So for $50,000, he stands to win if Auburn is able to pull out the national title.
I want Auburn to win the national title. I'd love to see somebody win big money at these casinos.
Right, and just kill Vegas. So, that was a ballsy bet that time, because that looked like you were throwing $100 away. So.
One real quick baseball note. I just heard today that Heath Bell is going to Tampa Bay. The Heath Bell experiment.
Is that significant?
No, I was going to say, wasn't he one of those Kevin Towers grit guys that they brought in?
Yeah, that didn't work. And I think Kevin Towers has kind of found himself on the hot seat because he's supposed to be known as a bullpen extraordinaire. And
their bullpen is bad. Yeah.
So, I think these Diamondbacks, I think the coach and the GM are kind of on the hot seat this year. So, as far as Heath Bell goes, I think good riddance. He doesn't have it. And I'm sure Tampa Bay is a good organization. I'm sure they'll slot him in and get him in an eighth inning role or a ninth inning role, maybe with some injuries, and he'll probably be successful.
Yeah, they'll find a low pressure spot for him to pitch where he'll be fine.
Yeah, they seem to handle people well. They've resurrected a few careers there, and I think had he stayed, I think he wouldn't have been good here. So I think that's a win for the player, and then I think it's a win for the Diamondbacks, and I think it's a win for the Rays. So not too significant, but good riddance to Heath Bell. He wasn't gonna be much here. They don't have the infrastructure here to support him. So
okay, a couple of little tidbits, little hot pods. We'll throw it around a little bit. Got a little NBA that we'll talk about. Blazers are hot. I think they're like 15-3. No one saw that coming.
Pretenders.
They probably are pretenders, but they have a good young nucleus. But you're right.
Right, they're up and coming. They'll fall back to earth.
Pacers are the hottest team in the East. Paul George is legit. I thought he was legit last year, but the more I watch him play, he's super legit. And
they're a team. They still need one more piece. They need a trade deadline move.
They need another guy who can put the ball in the basket. But yeah, I don't think we've been on the air since the Derrick Rose injury. How bad do you think that affects the Bulls? And if you're the Bulls, is it time to kind of, like, they looked like they were trying to build that team around Rose's skill set. Is it time to kind of blow that up, or do you wait for him to come back and you keep going in that direction?
That's tough. I know for you Chicago guys, that's a soft subject. I don't know. I think you probably stick with the plan. I don't think they really have any other choice.
Well, now you're talking about a guy who's coming back who's had surgery on both knees when he comes back, so I mean, is that really the guy to build your team around?
What is he? Is he under contract? I think he's under
contract. Yeah, he's under contract.
Yeah, I mean, you got to bring him back. I mean, he might not be the guy that he was, but he's still got to be a piece of the pie that they got to have. So,
my theory. I say this about Fitzgerald, and you always shoot me down. I know what Derrick Rose means to that community. I know he grew up in Chicago, but like.
Imagine if you're running a business. Well, you trade him when the stock's the lowest. I mean, you almost have to charge.
No, I think you bring him back. You bring him back. You let him play a few games, and you sell high. I believe you sell high. Like,
but after playing a few games, can you sell high? I mean, I guess you could have done that last year and he tore his knee again. But are people really buying Derrick Rose right now?
It depends.
I think you got to build. Yeah, you got to build him up in the program. So. I don't know. And I know he won an MVP. Was he ever going to win a championship? I don't know. I mean,
I don't think
he's never been a great shooter. And it's hard to if you're not a great shooter, it's hard to put a team on your back. I mean, I guess you can put a team on your back, but
I don't think that I was talking about this with our friend Josh. I don't know if maybe Chris Paul is probably the only guy who falls in this category, but I don't know if a little guy can since Isaiah Thomas, as we had a team that had a little guy as the best player win a championship, I don't know if you can have a little guy be your best player and win a championship anymore.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, that's not something I've given thought to, but, yeah, Iverson made a run and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think your best player has to be like a two or a three who could really, maybe even, you know, in San Antonio's case, a four who could really just score and, you know, make other people better. I don't know if you're, like, maybe Chris Paul can, like, maybe he'll prove me wrong, but he's the only small guy I see who can be the best player on a team and maybe elevate that team.
Yeah, I think you're right, just with the way the NBA is designed with a seven-game series, because that's kind of the opposite of what we see in college hoops with small guys a lot of times dominate the tournament. But, yeah, you're right, and then having to go back-to-back and stuff like that. I don't know, it'd be interesting. I'm trying to think of a team that kind of, like you said, Paul maybe, that has a little guy that
Seth Curry, but that team's not going to win the championship. But he's small, he's their best player.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there.
So, and as we see the Nets continue to spiral downward, anything to say about your boy Jay Kidd, who you pumped up on the show a few weeks ago? Purposely spilling drinks.
Did I pump Jay Kidd?
You pumped Jay Kidd.
Well, we're gonna have to pull. There's no evidence of that. No, he looks like he's out of his league. As far as, not that he's out of his league, I mean, he's been on the sidelines for years and years. But he probably wasn't ready. He probably needed to sit on an NBA bench as an assistant for a little while before he actually was the main X's and O's guy. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't. That organization is ran by someone that does shit on a whim anyway. So,
and he's not a basketball guy. He's more of a he wants to be a rock star basically, and or well known and. I think he, you know, the whole Jay Kidd signing, I think, was more for the look of it than the actual basketball side of it.
Personally. Right. And he's going to get fired, just like, you know, I think he tried to make a splash, just like that Mike Shanahan. I think, I don't know, these bad owners tend to make their coaches look bad, too. So.
Our last topic of the day, I want to ask another question before we start our rants. We saw Pacquiao destroy Brandon Rios. We haven't had any boxing talk since we started the show. So now that we've seen Pacquiao look good against Brandon Rios, we don't really know how good Brandon Rios is, but now we've seen it, do we want to see Pacquiao Mayweather? Is that the fight we all want to see again? We kind of jumped off that bandwagon. Are we back on it?
Yeah, I'm leading the charge. It's really the only fight. I understand it's not as good of a fight as it was 3 years ago, but with that said, what other fight do you want to see? They got to make that fight. From Mayweather's perspective, that's where the most money is. You know, if he's about what he says he's about, then he should probably make that happen.
Right. I still don't think it's ever going to happen. But you know, Pacquiao looks like he's probably back on the juice and.
Oh,
yeah, I knew you'd like that. Look like he's probably not going to do so. He looked good this week, but or a couple weeks ago. But yeah, that's really the only. And the only,
I think they're going to make it happen.
They should make it happen. But here's my other question: after they make that happen, then where does boxing go?
Well, yeah, it might be in trouble after that. I mean, those are the only two stars you have left.
There's no stars like. That's the only star power boxing has. There's
there's some good fighters.
There's some good fighters out there. I think Andre Ward's a great fighter, but
that's not selling.
No one knows who he is but me. So, unfortunately, I think MMA keeps rising and boxing keeps dying.
Yeah, I think they make it happen. I'll say this: I think it takes another year, and I think you should look for it around November. I don't think if it doesn't get done in the next 18 months. Then I'll finally be ready to put a fork in that.
All right, we're forking more things. All right. That was our little bit of boxing talk. We'll have more boxing talk as you know, things happen. Fights.
Did you think Rios had a chance in that fight going in? I didn't really get to talk to you before that.
No, I thought he would show up better than he did, but no, I didn't think he could win.
I don't know if you watched that 24/7. I was glad he got beat up. I wasn't impressed by him.
No, I didn't like him either. And.
He's like the kind of guy, you know, I don't know. He's the kind of guy I want to beat up. So
yeah, I joke
made
about
me cheer for Pacquiao.
I joke about the juice and all that. But for the most part, I like Manny. I think
he's out of money.
Huh?
He's out of money.
I've heard that. I don't know how you go through that kind of money, but I mean, I guess it's possible. People do it all the time. But
yeah, they're going to make that happen. Even if he has to get off the juice, even if he has to do the testing, they're going to make it happen.
So you agree that he's off the juice?
I don't know why he wouldn't agree to do that testing. I think didn't he agree and then Floyd backed out? Is that what happened?
Well, he agreed. Floyd wanted him to do a test before and after the fight.
Floyd just wants to be in charge.
Right.
I mean, and that's at the time, I think Manny – see, now Manny will have to bow to that stuff because he lost the fight.
Right.
And he'll have to kind of – Floyd will be able to run the show a little bit more, and I think it's going to be able to happen now with having Manny have lost because both camps didn't want to budge before. But I think if Manny Pacquiao's camp, he needs that money and he has to budge.
If that fight happens, who you got?
Oh, I got Floyd.
I got Floyd,
I got Floyd. I don't think – other than that, you know, we can talk boxing forever, but I think Floyd is afraid to break his hand, and I think Manny would take the fight to him. He's going to have to use that right hand, and if he did break his hand, Floyd fights like he's afraid to break his hand, and I think if he has that fear, if it really did come true, then I think Manny would probably be able to punish him. But Floyd's too good defensively. He can't hit him for whatever reason. He's technically sound.
You cannot hit that guy. Like, I don't. I will say this. I think
he's the most boring fighter.
To watch
his fights are terrible.
But
he's
I've never seen someone who punches so little, and at the end of every fight, there's no question who won it. You know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't even fight. He doesn't even throw that many punches. But none of his fights are even close. Like that Canelo fight, like that wasn't even close, and Floyd threw maybe, 10, 11 punches around? How do you beat someone that bad throwing 10, 11 punches around is amazing to me. I mean, he's the best doing it right now. It's not pretty to watch, but he gets it done, so I can't say anything bad about Floyd. I'm actually a big Mayweather fan. I know I'm in the minority on that, but I like Floyd, so.
Yeah, no, I like him. I mean, he's a Las Vegas guy. It's just.
Vegas guys, man, gotta stick together.
This is the only fight. I mean, I've been watching Floyd for years and years, and I'm sure you have too as a big boxing guy. But you know, I mean, even before he was real popular, I was watching Floyd fight, and this is a fight that I've always wanted to see because a lot of people want to argue otherwise. I knew how the Canelo fight was going to go, and I just think this fight is interesting to me. So I hope they make it happen.
All those people who thought the Canelo fight would go different are all the people who just really want to see Floyd lose. Like, there's a group of people that's going to – they want Floyd to lose so bad.
Who's the best fighter Floyd's ever fought?
Ooh, good question.
I don't know the answer to that either. My point being – I think Manny can make Floyd fight where no one's ever really made Floyd beat Canelo one-handed just for the fun of it.
I'll say this about Floyd. Floyd catches a lot of guys when they're past their prime. He caught De La Hoya when he was past his prime. He caught Mosley when he was past his prime. He got Cotto when he was past his prime. Like, he's really good, and I think that's what he's waiting for with Manny. Like,
he knocked out Hatton in his prime.
Was Hatton in his prime?
No, that was
he retired the next, after the fight. He knocked Hatton into retirement. Like, I think he's real good at catching dudes when they're on their downside.
Pacquiao beat Hatton before Floyd beat Hatton? Is that how that went?
I think Floyd beat him first, but Pacquiao beat him more convincingly.
Yeah, Pacquiao retired him, right?
That's right.
Pacquiao, you're right.
It was Pacquiao that retired. That was ugly, too. I thought he killed him. Like, remember that knockout?
I think I've seen that with you. That was a great knockout.
That was ugly. All right. We got about a minute 15 seconds left of show.
All right. Well, my rant was going to be longer than that, but.
Shorten up your rant. Give me a little bit. What do you got?
Well, I had a good one, too. You know what I was going to say is that whatever happened to Manti Te'o? We're about 12 games in now. Ever since he was inserted into the lineup, San Diego's defense has got worse. I read some stats. I just looked up 28 against the pass. He couldn't cover pass. This guy is he was a second round pick. He was built on hype. He was never good. He played in the slow. I mean, they play all these Big Ten schools and Air Forces, and this guy could never play. He got outclassed against Alabama. And he is terrible. And aside from his personal lifestyle and other things I've ranted about before, this guy cannot play. Where is Manti Te'o?
Ah, man, that was a good one. I agree wholeheartedly. Mine, with like 20 seconds left, is we talked a lot of stuff last year about these replacement officials, but the official officiating I see in the NFL right now is probably just as bad. The call at the end of the game, Carolina game a few weeks ago, the call at the end of the Cardinal game. Like,
you guys should be full-time.
And I believe you either have to make them full-time or you got to do something different because the officiating is bad. Or give them more training. I don't really know what the solution is. But the officiating, to me, seems to be getting worse every week. And I don't see a solution. So
I see a fix there. I think you make them full-time. You make them study game tape. They do camps. They run camps. They train as college officials in the off-season. And you make them full-time. And through game tape and through study, I think they get better. So I think you make them full-time, and I think that gives you a solution.
All right. We went over time, so some of you, if you're listening live, you didn't hear the end of it. If you listen to the recording, you will. But that's all things sports for another week. Big Mike, C. Miller, we thank
Go
you.
Go Devils.
If you're out there listening, we appreciate it, and we'll see you next week. Have a good week. That was good. I didn't know we'd.